Gear Hunter. I'm sending out a smoke signal here to all of you operating on the higher frequencies.
Wednesday night rituals observed. We join the Gear Hunter above the time, high level, mid-rant. Don't get them started, mate.
Billions of pounds are being spent in a futile attempt to stop people getting their hands on what they want. And the only people making any money out of it are gangsters.
Aye, well, even to a daft bastard like me with a head full of super pollen, that doesn't make any sense.
People are looking for alternatives, chemical alternatives. Stuff that you can spray on a load of old herbs and turn it into something that'll pass for a smoke. Spice, etc.
Other brands are available.
I mean, what do you want to get high on? The work of a Dutch horticulturalist or some backstreet Chinese chemist?
Well, I'd have to go with the former after hearing this cautionary tale sent from our man in Japan.
Ah, oh, the bloke here from Tokyo.
Aye, the Gaijin Gaji from Hitachi. Got himself Fukuyama'd right up one weekend.
I'll Fukuyama you if you didn't give us that pipe back.
It's hard to get your hands on dope in Japan, especially if you're a foreigner and you can't speak the language. And usually when you can't get it, it costs between 50 and 80 quid a gram. So most of the time it's not worth buying. But when I have bought some, it has been very fucking good. These days in Tokyo, there's a lot of head shops have popped up selling spice from China. This artificial cannabinoid tweaked up stuff. You go in there, it's just like a normal head shop. They've got these bags of spice. Some of the bags, they've got little pictures. They've got pictures of Buddha on them, pictures of dolphins. Maybe you think that's the weak stuff. On some other shelves there'll be a packet, a completely black packet with a red skull on it with flames coming off its head. Maybe that's the strong stuff. But if you ask the guy in the shop which is weak, which is strong, he'd just shrug his shoulders. He's got no idea. I don't smoke much dope just because it's so hard to get and because of the price. And I don't live in Tokyo, so I'm very rarely able to get my hands on spice. I've got a friend who lives down in Tokyo who pops up to my place sometimes. He usually has a couple of bags with him, and I usually buy a bag off him. Lasts me months, lasts him a couple of weeks. Last time I saw him was just after New Year. He said, "Oh, sorry, mate, I haven't got any spice with us today." But he says, I'll knock you a few joints up. Rolled four, one skin of joints up, a mixture of tobacco and spice. And he said, careful, this is a little bit strong. Okay, no problem. So put them in your pocket, keep them for a rainy day. That was the idea.
Sir, there's nothing you can do about it.
If I medicine you, you'd think a brain tumour was a birthday present.
So a few months later, John's having a party down in Tokyo, invites a few people along. Yeah, okay, I'll see you there. I jump on the Shinkansen, the bullet train, to head them to his place. I'm texting a few people, going to the party, and I'm texting one of them, Bill. He's bumped into a mutual friend of ours. I've just bumped into Tom, haven't seen him for ages. A few more texts. Oh, Tom's got some spice with him. Oh, he's just smoked the joint, and then he vomited everywhere. And now he's lying in the middle of this park in the fetal position. He's speaking in grunts, and we can't move him. So I'm pissing myself laughing. I text him back, yeah, can't handle it, soft as shite, all of that stuff. But after about 30 minutes, Tom pulls himself around, gets up, white as a sheet, and then has to go back to the hotel room where he's staying for a lie down. So I get to Tokyo, I meet up with me mate, we jump on the train, we go down to me mate's house for the party. There's a bunch of people there, maybe 10, 15 people, all just sitting around having a drink in the living room, various places around the house, in the kitchen, etc. So having a few drinks of wine, a few beers, having a big crack on. Me mate John says, could someone come into the kitchen, help us with these pizzas? So I said, yeah, I'll do it. I says, first I'm just going to nip outside, have a little smoke. So he says, yeah, okay, no problem. So I went outside. I knew from experience that you have to take it easy with the spice stuff because you never know what you're going to get. So I went outside, lit the joint up, one skin of joint, took a puff just to get it lit, inhaled that, took a second puff, and then I just put the joint out in the ashtray and just left it there outside. Went into the kitchen to help me mate. By the time I was in the kitchen, it was like going from 0 to 60 in a second.
Adjusting the quantity of a synthetic cannabis, which is known as spice.
Hello, my little
face. Fucking hell.
Give us a take on that.
Oh, stoned, absolutely stoned out the trumpet, man.
The kitchen had just expanded to an infinite point, somewhere off in the distance. To me, my perception seemed as though I was about 50 or 60 foot high, looking down on the kitchen, and my mate standing there with the pizza saying, "What the fuck's up with you?" So straight away I knew there was something wrong, because I've never had that kind of experience on anything smokable.
These legal highs, they are mushrooming on the European market. Over the past 3 years, they have tripled from just 24...
So I sat down at the kitchen table, put my head down in the whitey position. But this wasn't a whitey. I've had loads of whiteys, and this definitely wasn't a whitey. This was tripping off me fucking head from two drags of a one skinner joint. So people were coming into the kitchen to gawp and to have a piss-takey laugh and to ask us how I was doing, but I couldn't speak. I could only speak in grunts. Couldn't move, couldn't do anything. It was like everything had a delay on it. A 5-second delay, 10-second delay, and it took 5-10 seconds to get into my brain, then 5-10 seconds to get back out again. And you know what it's like when you're stoned? You have a thought or an idea, and then that thought leads to another thought and another thought, and it goes on, and then suddenly you come back to reality, to where you were, and it seems as though you've been away for maybe 30 minutes, when actually you've only been away for 1 minute. Well, that was happening, but it was like it was on steroids. I was completely incapacitated. My mate Bill, who had spent the afternoon nursing an incapacitated, spiced-up Kiwi, who had just vomited all over himself and curled up into a fetal position, then came into the kitchen, knew what was going on, got everyone out of the kitchen and sat there and took care of me while this was going on. So about 10 minutes into it, I'm coming back from an echo chamber thought delay trip which seemed to have lasted for 1,000 years. I'm suddenly coming back to reality.
No turning back on a suicide ride.
And I noticed my breathing had changed. I was breathing faster than normal. And that's never happened to me before. Even now, I don't know if I was hyperventilating, because I've never hyperventilated, or if it was the dope that was doing it. Anyway, my breathing was getting faster and faster, like that, like a dog panting. And that's when I shat myself, because I had no control over it whatsoever. I couldn't stop the breathing, and it was getting faster and faster. And I was thinking to myself, what the fuck's going on here? Is it going to get faster and faster and faster, and then what's going to happen at the end of that? Am I going to snuff it? Of course, that's one of the worst things that you want to be thinking when you're tripping off your head. As well as the panting, of course, my heart was beating faster and faster and faster along with the panting. Because I was breathing so fast, I was getting higher, higher and higher. And then I noticed that I couldn't move. My whole body was just lock solid. I don't know if that was just tension because of the situation, or if it was the drug doing it, but I couldn't move at all. My whole body was stiff. Suddenly it felt as though the skin all over my body was boiling. It wasn't hot, wasn't painful, just as if bubbles, like when you boil a kettle and it bubbles over. Well, the whole of my skin was boiling like that. I was in an absolute state of terror, tripping off me nut. My body was completely stiff. I couldn't move, didn't have any control over that. Feeling as though my skin was boiling, my heart was pounding, and I had no choice but to be intensely focused on my breathing. It's the most intense experience I've ever had on drugs. And that lasted for about 30 minutes, another 30 minutes, just being in this intense state of terror and tripping. And then slowly the breathing relaxed, my muscles and my body started to relax, and I could move them again. After that, so much intensity, I just felt mildly stoned, and I felt like that for maybe another 30 minutes, and then nothing.
Summoning was 15 stones when I did it.
personally, I don't know why anybody would want to make a drug that does that to somebody. And I don't know why anybody would want to voluntarily take a drug that does that to them, knowing that it's going to do that to them. To me, it was like poison, like being poisoned. It was as if my body had been hijacked by the drug, and the drug just took over all the functions of my body. It was as if the drug had just bypassed my consciousness completely and just went straight to the reptile brain, and the reptile brain was running the show, if that makes any sense. Let me wrap up me ganja, who loves the chalwa. Let me smoke me marijuana. So if you ever come to Japan and you fancy a terrifying, intense, nightmarish experience, then I suggest you try the spice here. But as far as I'm concerned, I just want to smoke a bit of dope and listen to some music.
Turns out that fake weed you can buy has some very real dangers. I know, shocker.
CGH in Gateshead, County Durham.
TheGearHunter.co.uk.